Hear ye! Camp Wanakiki has crowned its first queen of camp.
Alexis Bevels, who wowed the judges with her sweet sensibilities, her transformative tent look, and her OK Go-inspired music video filmed in the wilds of Chicago's lakefront.
Kindness is in short supply these days, so it's great to see Chicago's Queen of Nice, Alexis, snatch the coveted crown.
She didn't even have to put chili powder in Muffy's makeup to win.
Today, Alexis P. Bevels, the winner of Camp Wanakiki, joins us to take a look at her time at the Drag Queen Wilderness Retreat and what it takes to go all the way.
Plus, LGBT erasure in the new Fantastic Beasts movie.
And why the new film, A Star is Born, is reckless.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Become a member and support this show at feastoffun.com/plus.
There is a new queen in town, the Queen of Camp. Bow down before your reigning champion, Alexis Bevels.
Woo!
On today's Feast of Fun.
Hello, Alexis.
Hi.
Good to have you back.
What
it's
a wonderful intro. Yes, it's been, oh my God, years.
And now you're the queen of camp.
Oh my goodness. Can you believe it?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Don't say that. That's from Drag Race. This is Camp Wanakiki.
I'm sure RuPaul is not the first person to say congratulations.
Well, actually, that started out as a slur because she had too many cocktails.
Congratulations.
Today is the first day of your reigning year as the queen of camp.
Is it today?
Well, the first day of the rest of your year, right?
The rest of your life.
yeah. It's been almost a week since I found out. It's been amazing. Everyone has been so nice, and I've gotten lots of messages and lots of Instagram, DMs from people saying they really liked what I did. It feels really amazing. And actually, I didn't even realize after on Thursday, after I found out, after the episode aired, people were like, girl, you're the first Chicago winner ever of any drag show.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
I hadn't even thought of it. I feel
it's Chicago
crazy.
Person's won Drag Race, no
which is
Chicago
a supreme injustice. Which is a supreme injustice.
It's what's the word? It's the way it is, I guess.
It's RuPaul's choice.
You just have to trust in her judgment.
Sure. But we're not talking about her.
Well, I would say the Queen of Nice is now the Queen of Camp.
Aw, thank you.
And you have really done an extraordinary job of reaching out to a lot of different kinds of people and making space for people who are cast aside. I know, drag queens can get very cliquish. I really respect and appreciate you reaching out to different communities and people to bring the love and the inclusivity of drag to everyone. And I think that's what sets you apart from a lot of drag queens in this
world. That's very sweet. That's giving me a lot of credit, too. I'm just like, book me anywhere.
Well, it's kind of the job, right?
It's kind of like when we gave Obama the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, we're getting into that.
They were kind of like, we want you to be a president for peace, And I think with Camp Wanakiki, there was a real wholesome aspect to the show.
Absolutely.
And I think they recognized that in you.
Thank you. And I know that the Sugar Baker twins, hey girls, they wanted it to be a nice, wholesome, fun for everyone, just kind of
experience.
Positive experience. And I think that we did that. I'm really proud of what they did. I'm so excited to see what happens next.
What's on the dossier for the Queen of Camp?
Well, my first official activity as Queen of Camp Wanakiki is we're going to the Austin International Drag Fest.
Awesome.
Which I'm so excited about because I'm actually from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Amarillo and I grew up in Houston. So
Amarillo? I'm a farm girl from Del Rio, Massa.
Really?
That's from Showgirls.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I was born there, and we moved to Texas, and then I lived there until I moved here when I went to college.
There's a real Texas-Chicago
connection?
It's called Interstate 35.
Is that what it is? Interstate 35? Seems like there's a lot.
It's really easy to move from Austin to Chicago. So
you just go
a lot
straight
of Austin
north.
People in Chicago, a lot of Chicago people in Austin.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, and I always like to think of it as, because Chicago to me was like the only cool place in Texas. Sorry, Texas. But I grew up there, so I can say that.
Wait, Austin was the only
Austin,
cool,
yeah. Forgive me. Yeah, mm-hmm. Austin. And then Chicago to me, as I understand it, is like the destination for Illinois. It's like, other places in Illinois are kind of country.
Yeah.
There's some country aspects.
Chicago's like a mecca for people, well, throughout the world, but definitely, for queer people from the Midwest. So,
yeah,
you know,
and
if
eclectic.
You go to like Boys Town, it's all people from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I always like to, I think that there's a similarity there. Mm.
What do you think the judges responded to you on Camp Wanakiki? Because, I was a judge on the show, and a lot of the other people there, they were kind of like in a situation where they didn't know what they were looking for necessarily.
Yeah.
And I felt like that challenge with the tent challenge, mm-hmm. I think that's where at the point in the season that set you ahead of the group, because you treated the tents not just as a fashion building material, but also as a tent.
Yeah. Well, that one I was super excited about, and I really wanted to, I saw this ad on Facebook.
Describe your look for people that haven't seen it.
Oh, well, it was a dress that was made out of a tent, but I bought two of the same tent, and I made one, I just kept one as it was, and I made it like my skirt, like this big ball gown.
It was
gown.
Kind of like Cinderella-like, right?
Cinderella, yeah, yeah. Marie Antoinette. And then I took the other one and I cut it up and I rearranged it, and I tried to also keep it intact, but make it, like useful, and
it was so much fun. You did so great with that.
What's the cliche? Cool. Something but make it fashion.
Yeah.
Oh, but make it fashion, right?
Yeah.
Camping, but make it fashion.
Well, and I noticed that with all the other girls, and this is something I probably would have done too, is they all gravitated to kids' tents or colorful tents, and you went for like the Coleman Butch gray and blue tent, which visually kind of set you apart from the pack.
Yeah. Well, I wanted a pink one, but I waited too long on Amazon.
That actually won in your favor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was the same tent. It was just, it would have been pink. But yeah, I saw this video online, this company ADIFF, they have ADIFF. They have a Kickstarter going on, and their whole thing was, it was their response to the refugee crisis. Their whole thing was like, have this coat, and then if you rearrange some things and put the poles in, it's a tent. So you can have, you know, housing for you on you at, and they also have like a sleeping bag poncho type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I saw that, and I saw it years ago, and I was like, that is amazing. And so when I got the tent challenge, I was like, I want to do something like that. I want to keep the tent as intact as possible so I can still use it. Like I made the jacket, like, is it like a rain cover? You know, the screen windows were like my pockets. And I tried to be like, tent, but make it fashion. Like you said, yeah. I tried to be as well thought out as possible.
Did you rehearse that? I mean, I imagine that you, in the process of making this, got frustrated and like, this is not going to work out. I quit, you know.
I did rehearse it the day when we found out we were doing it. I had all the pieces done, and I, you know, fit them and stuff. But like going into it and revealing, it was like me behind the cabin in the like grassy knoll away from everyone, just making sure I could still get through it, you know?
Cause the girls were kind of spying on each other, very much like, you know, a scene from Porky's or Hot Wet American Summer. Like we were taking a shower at Camp Wanakiki, and the twins and I are sort of talking about what we experienced that day and what we thought about the contestants. And then we hear a giggle outside of the shower, and we're like, God damn it, you girls, get away from here.
What?
You know?
Who was doing that?
I don't know who it was, but I was like, get out.
Was it Kevy? Her giggle is quite recognizable.
Kevy definitely has a very noticeable,
a booming giggle.
Oh my God,
giggle.
She should trademark that.
I think she's turning it into a ringtone.
You don't want to sit in front of her if you're watching like a comedy. You want to be behind her.
It's like an
that
Osiris.
Is true. That is true. Yeah. I love her. Mm-hmm. But in the when we would do viewings of the episode before they released it, we didn't have subtitles, and I always wanted to be like, Kevy, laugh quieter. We can't hear.
Use your endure voice.
I love her though.
But take that laugh she and put it on a ringtone.
She should do voiceover.
I think she's going to. It's inevitable. Be nice to Kevy because she's getting gigs.
Oh, she's a wonderful, magical being.
The girls on your season called Kevy the sort of the spooky,
imaginary friend.
The imaginary friends. Why did you say that?
Because she was just, her look was different from all of us, obviously.
Is that a read?
Absolutely not. No. I would never think to do like that makeup for just daytime in the woods.
It was very elaborate. So she was kind of like clown white with like blue overtones and purple.
Yeah, her references are like
Gacy.
That too. But a lot of her references are like high art. So like it was almost like Toulouse-Lautrec, like a vision in blue. Yeah.
And I said that she had died on the first episode, and that was her ghost haunting the camera.
That's shitty.
So then there was Muffy Fishbasket, who was Muffles. Running up against you neck and neck.
Chicago, yeah, representing.
So how did you sabotage her?
Well, I went into her cabin at night. I did, you know,
we did
pine cones in her sleeping bag. She actually brought a full bedroom set. She had like throw pillows, like quilts.
Oh, wow.
But she was in the stinky cabin. I'm sure we've talked about it. There was two cabins for us. Mm-hmm. And originally they suggested, it was a suggestion, that we all sleep in one and have all of our drag in the other. Because there was like 10 beds in each cabin. And then I was like, I will say, I was like, no, we're not doing that. Like, let's split up.
Why were they wanting to have you leave your wigs in another place where someone can get to them?
I think it would be more comfortable for us to sleep away from all that. Because what ended up happening is we were just hanging all of our costumes from the rafters. There was drag everywhere.
It was like Tu Wong Fu when they stopped in that little town.
Tu Wong Fu on steroids. Yeah. Yeah. It was just... And it was like that too, just hanging things from the rafters, throwing sequins everywhere. So we decided to split up, and for some reason, instead of doing four and four, five of them all stayed in one, and then me, Dominique, and Kevy were in this other one, which I was like, that's great. We're like the quiet, get some sleep. They were all chatting all night. But JJ had her nature sounds. We were in nature. We could hear crickets, but
it
was
crazy because I had a white noise machine myself that had birds in it.
Yeah.
And then the actual birds. So I tried to turn it off in the middle of the night and wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And those birds drove you nuts.
I got used to it. I was too tired.
I made the mistake of opening the window the first night, you know, and it's just like in the morning, it was like... Just in your ear, you know, those birds just are super.
Yeah, you have to get earplugs when you're in those kinds of environments. That's one thing I learned from being on Alt for Norga. Sleep with an eye mask and wear earplugs.
Ooh.
Pagan Holiday, she was also neck and neck with you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess describe her as she takes stuffed animals, cuts them off,
rips their guts out.
She does really amazing things with like puppetry and stuffed animals and. She's so creative and all of her looks too. Every time she came out, I was like, Pagan, what? Like, I think she's a style icon. Like the squirrel friends look that she had and the makeup with like it looked like she was wearing a prosthetic like squirrel nose, but it was just makeup and just, she does like amazing quilted looks. I was obsessed with her. I was very worried about everything I saw from her. I was like, oh my God, she's really good. When I first saw her, though, I was like, who is this person with this weird pink fuzzy helmet on, wearing jeans, yelling like a man?
Alien-like, right?
Yeah. Strange, for sure. And also, we had a running joke, like, her and Sylvia would go on a walk, and then Sylvia would go to the cabins, and Pagan would come back, and she did it with a couple of people, and we were like, Pagan, are you just murdering people in the woods and leaving them there? It was pretty funny.
Vajayjay Snapman Turtle, the comedy queen who won Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality.
That's the favorite from the contestants or the favorite from the audience?
From the contestants, but audience too.
Sure.
Obviously. Everyone. She had everyone in stitches the entire time, whether the cameras were on or off.
Because she's not like Valentina. It wasn't fan favorite.
No. She is the favorite. She is, everything she says is so hilarious. And her and Muffy together, it was like, you couldn't get a word in edgewise because they were both just like going 100 miles an hour, just ripping everyone apart, but in a funny way.
Sylvia Nix from Dix.
From Milwaukee. Milwaukee, yes. Crazy cat lady. We love Sylvia. She is actually super funny, and the world needs to see more of her. Because she's first hilarious. Eliminated. Yeah, and I'm really, really grateful that they didn't have any eliminations on the first episode.
Sure.
She was first eliminated, but she got 2 episodes, so we got to see more. And I know she was really down about that.
Lady Bunny actually watched some of the episodes. She said she doesn't like reality TV shows, especially with drag queens, where they eliminate the contestants.
She doesn't like competitions because she's like, drag isn't competition. I'm like, well, if you look at a pageant, it sure is competition, right?
Yeah. Did you watch Making It with Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman?
I wanted Muffy to get on that show.
Oh, she would be great. Actually, Pagan would be great too.
Yeah.
So, Amy Poehler, it's about like crafting. It's kind of like, you know, a show about, it's like Great British Bake Off, but with you know, crafts.
Yeah, one of our favorite shows. Yeah.
And Nick Offerman knows a lot about woodworking and crafting, and Amy Poehler knows nothing. And she's like, I have an idea. Let's keep everyone here. Every week we'll add someone, we'll eat food, and we'll go to sleep together. And I was like, I love this show. And that's what I felt about Camp Wanakiki. I was like, can we just have everyone stay here the whole time? And actually, they did not tell us anything about anything. So we were all maybe hopeful that we would all get to stay. Well, we knew we were all staying the whole week anyways. So we were really hopeful that we would all get to stay and do everything together.
Well, I imagine that for the girls who got sent home earlier, that was emotional. Like, you know, certainly for Kevi.
Mm-hmm. They didn't get sent home. They took a hike,
yeah.
Which is, you know.
Which is so sad because in that context, it's not fun. But I love hiking. Yeah. Did you guys know that hiking, it's just walking? I found that
pretty
out recently.
Much, yeah.
It's so fun.
Sometimes there's some elevation, though. You can go up that kind of stuff.
What about the pinkening Dominique DeGrant?
My sweet angel. No joke, literally everything she owns and brought with her is pink.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, what? And then at the end I was like, this is brilliant. You are
well,
a brand.
Well, it saves money. You can accessorize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I used to do it all in blue. So I know where she's coming from.
Yeah.
And then people are like, don't you have any other colors?
What's your hashtag if it's she's the pinkening? So what would yours be?
I was the blue fairy.
The blue fairy.
From Pinocchio.
Oh, that's cute.
I turned the boys into men.
Oh, my goodness. Dominique is amazing. She has the polish. She does a lot of pageants. She's from up near Eau Claire. And she does a lot of pageants. So she's got that really pageant polish. But her makeup is like so exaggerated. And her hair is always so crazy big.
What about Alaysia? She is a dynamic queen that a lot of people don't realize she was brought in at the very last minute.
Yeah, so she did not have as much time as us. And she said on the finale, she has dabbled in camp, being a campy queen, but she is really an amazing dancer. And you've seen her. She's a glamazon. She's beautiful. So I'm really proud of her. I think she did great. Yeah.
It's interesting how some people, like, their journey to drag is like that. They kind of do it as a bit of a joke and a lark, and they get campy, and then they're just like, I could be a pretty lady if I really wanted to.
See, in my experience was the opposite. Like, I started off, I wanted to be, like, beautiful and glamorous. Like, I started doing drag around the time, like season 3 and season 4 of Drag Race. So I was like, oh, Raja, I want to be Raja. And then it just kind of settled back into, I'm funny. I'm dumb. I should stick with what I know.
And you do a lot of cosplay kind of stuff too, right?
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. For things that, sorry, I just yelled in the,
no,
for things that, yeah, I'm really into, like Harry Potter, Game of Thrones. Like, I wouldn't say I'm a cosplay queen, like not like Dax or like Foxy, but I would say like with things I'm passionate about, I will try to
That was kind of a criticism that you received, was that cosplay is not drag or camp.
Well, they said it was a little too cosplay. This is about my Edward Scissorhands look. Edwina scissor fingers.
Scissor puss.
Yeah. I didn't scissor puss. That's funny. Do a cat. Cat scissor hands. Yeah, I did get that it was too cosplay, which that's not a negative to me. I guess it was for them, but I see what they were saying. It wasn't as campy as it could have been. I think I went a little too literal with the makeup. I think if I had done a little something extra.
Well, part of it was like they wanted to see you, and what we saw was a really flawless recreation of a character that exists elsewhere.
Oh, that's kind. Thank you. I actually had a completely different idea, but then because they we got assigned, you know, these are the looks they want you to bring.
Sure.
And then that one was a spooky or Halloween challenge. And originally, because I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, I wanted to do like a drag, like Dementor. Something, you know,
there's the soul something suckers creepy, or
the soul happiness suckers. And then, like a little bit later, just before we were about to leave, they were like, oh, you need to write a scary story to go, like a ghost story, like a campfire story to go with. And I was like, I couldn't figure out how to do a story about Dementors that wasn't Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could have gone for the cheap joke and done something about sucking, but I was like, oh, I need to switch it up. And then I remembered, like, one of my favorite movies of all time, which should be not a surprise, is True Beverly Hills. And that ghost story, I always loved it. She's talking about how, you know,
sure,
they permed me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do that and do like a take on that. And, with the Edward Scissorhands, it kind of worked for me. If I could do it again, I would do something different, I think.
So you're a big fan of Harry Potter. How excited are you for Fantastical Beasts Part 2?
I'm going to say something a little controversial. I want to be excited, but I'm not.
Why?
Okay, so they just announced last week that Nagini is in the movie and she's a character.
Yes.
And I was so excited. So Nagini in the books is the snake, mm-hmm. and also one of the Horcruxes, Voldemort. He who must not be named, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And Nagini, I always just thought that was a snake. That was his mm-hmm. Horcrux. Come to find out that she's an actual person in the past. You know, we don't know the story there, but
I think we understand that she's cursed.
Well,
I think that's what they've let out.
Yeah. But to know that she was once a human, I was so into that. Mm-hmm. And then I saw an article that was like, it's very problematic to have a white man, essentially a white man's pet, be an Asian woman, and it's not good for representation. Mm. And I was like, oh, that is right. And I also have a problem with Johnny Depp being involved at all because of, you know, the previous
allegations from his ex-wife
of you know, beating, and also like J.K. Rowling, didn't she write the whole series because she was being mistreated?
It seems like an odd choice, and I do have misgivings about the casting of Johnny Depp, and I'm kind of like, God, I just wish they'd gone in a different direction, or maybe they could just do a magic spell, like what did they do with the Mr. What's-His-Name's Emporium when Heath Ledger died?
Yeah.
You know, they just had other actors play that role.
Well, Game of Thrones, they're always changing out the actors in that. But also the number, mm-hmm. I think chief among, this is a culmination, mm-hmm. Is they're... They have been reported to not be talking about the relationship between Grindelwald and mm-hmm. Dumbledore. And for me, it's like, J.K. Rowling, you have such an opportunity. Yeah. You don't have to show us a nude, like mm-hmm. a sex scene. I mean, if you want to.
I mean, anal would be okay, but right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing is like, you know, she never outed Dumbledore during the show or during the books or anything. And then afterwards, she's like, oh, yeah, he's gay. And I'm like, well, you could see that because, like, what headmaster of any school isn't gay? And so you can kind of get that idea from when you're reading the last book. That Grindelwald and they were friends, and they had a relationship, and you didn't quite know what the nature of it was, but as a queer person, you kind of like, they were
lovers.
You
can connect the dots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that especially now, mm-hmm. there's such a great opportunity there for, you know, telling a story. And again, it doesn't have to be mm-hmm. gratuitous, but when you're, it feels like, and I haven't seen it yet, but mm-hmm. it's reported that there won't be any, like, overt. They're not addressing it to me seems like a misstep.
When you look at the first movie, though, there was definitely that character, you know, when Colin Farrell was playing Grindelwald, you know, before the reveal, and he would meet that young boy who was suffering from that magical disease, and they'd meet in alleys, and he'd be like right up on top of him, whispering stuff into his ear.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's
to
creepy.
Me, that was like had a very like clandestine, coded, like, I'm kind of gay for you kind of thing, too.
Yeah. And that actor, I don't remember his name, but he's gay.
Isn't Colin Farrell, like, openly bisexual?
No, I don't think so. He was
in a gay movie.
But I think there actually were rumors.
Yeah, but I started those rumors. Well, listen, he also,
we can help.
He was friends with Elizabeth Taylor. He would call, like, I guess he was in the hospital visiting somebody, and Liz Taylor was in the hospital, so he's just like, he had never met her before, so he just stopped in to see her, and then they just became friends, and he said, like, they talked every day on the phone. I mean, come on.
I love that. What a beautiful story. That's a movie. Right?
Anyway. Alexis, which house are you? Have you taken those tests?
Mm-hmm. I've taken the tests. Yeah. I've tried to cheat and tried not to cheat. And generally, I usually get Gryffindor. But I like to say
I could see you as a Gryffindor. Yeah. For people who are not familiar with the whole concept of houses and the Harry Potter verse.
Yeah.
What exactly are the houses and what do they all represent?
So there's Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin. Uh-huh. And the Gryffindors are what Harry Potter is. They're like the brave, loyal. The Ravenclaws are clever and like book smart. The Hufflepuffs are...
Oh. So Hermione is like a...
No, she's a Gryffindor.
No, she's a Gryffindor because she... Yeah.
Because she's a major character. But isn't she smart and...
She's very smart. Yeah she's very smart.
Book savvy?
Book savvy. But she's also like, you know, leading the charge. They didn't do it in the movies, but like the whole spew, the elf, you know, had the house elf treatments. Mm-hmm. She's very...
Gryffindor?
I'm like a Gryffindor. I like to say I'm a Gryffindor Hufflepuff rising. Because Hufflepuffs are like the loyal, the fun. They're just here, you know.
That's what I am.
That's what you are. I can see
whenever
that.
Whenever I've ever taken the test, yeah. I'm like, oh, I want to be a Gryffindor.
The Hufflepuff. The Hufflepuff's dorms are also by the kitchen, so they're always got the snacks on. Oh. I think that they're probably like the stoners, and I'm not saying I am, but I like, I enjoy that. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And then the Slytherin are all the, like, they're super smart, but they're, you know, cunning and, prone to, not evil really. Cause you don't have to be bad to be a Slytherin, but a lot of Slytherins are bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't you think they're like sort of misunderstood? I'm Slytherin, by the way.
You're what else would you be?
I can see that.
Yeah, I just basically, like, every time I've taken the test, no matter how many times I try to cheat the system, curses, it's Slytherin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just because I like to hang out at, you know, I'm a night owl and I like dogs, I mean, does that make me a bad person?
No.
You know?
Yeah, Slytherin, I mean...
I guess the way I like to think of Slytherin, and I had this conversation with another Slytherin sister, Alaska.
I've heard of her.
She and I
huge fan.
Are both taken the test many times and come out Slytherin no matter what. And part of it is, like, we're misunderstood. We're categorized to be the villain, but in fact, we're sort of making a lot of personal sacrifices to allow... the good people to win.
Well, that's the thing that's, I think, brilliant about the franchise is you're not a bad person just because you're a Slytherin. Mm-hmm. And, like, you don't judge a wizard by their house. You know what I mean? You don't judge a book by its cover.
Sorting hat can be hacked.
I'm a Gryffindor, but I can be a petty bitch. You know what I mean? Muffy is for sure. What is Muffy?
She's probably a Slytherin.
I would
too.
Say Slytherin. Yeah.
How much does Muffy hate you right now?
I don't know. I don't think she hates. Oh my God. I don't think she hates me. She did lean over after. So after
I was there when they announced. Yeah. So for people that don't know, Faust and I were there at the filming of the finale, and it took like 6 hours,
which is
understandable. You know, these things take a long time. You know, drag race takes like 10 or 12 hours or something.
I can only
imagine. Film the finale, and they filmed 3 different endings, and then they had the showing of the of who was going to win. Mm-hmm. At Hamburger Mary's, I went. Fausto, unfortunately, had to work that night. And you, Kevi, and Olesia, and Muffy were all there.
And Muffy, yeah.
And I guess, who was the other one that was top three? Sorry.
Pagan was not there,
so she knew she wasn't going to win. I don't know what, or she was just busy that day. Well, she lives, like, in a different city,
right? She lives
in
Milwaukee, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a hike. And so you were announced as the winner, and, like, I went over to congratulate you and say hi to Muffy, and Muffy was like, already gone.
Yeah, she gave me a big hug, and then she said congrats, and then she said, get ready for a year of petty. And I was like, girl, how is that different from you just anyways? But yeah, she made herself scarce. She is busy. She's
a hardworking queen.
She's hardworking, and she's been just by herself even before Camp Wanakiki, going to all these different gay campsites, like Camp It and Saugatuck and... Mm-hmm. she's, I think she's been in Kentucky. She's been all over.
I imagine that for you, this is like a dream come true, and it's going to open up a lot of opportunities for you to travel and
I really hope so. I really hope
so. When you first heard about the concept and because everybody was approached to do this show. No one auditioned for it. Next season, it'll be strictly auditions.
I think they're auditioning right at Austin International Drag Festival.
Yeah,
right?
They're going to have an open call. Okay. And I've been privy to information. I don't know if I can share.
Okay.
But if you get to Austin, it would behoove you to go.
Well, right.
If you want to be on the next season,
if you want to be on the next season, yeah, they're also going to
make sure you bring bug spray. Yeah.
There will also be other you can apply, yeah,
and a makeup box that can be locked.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, ooh, shady. What have you heard?
Well, you know, pageants. You know, the girls. You know that some pageant queens do lock their makeup box.
Oh no, I didn't know.
Oh yeah, they don't want people putting like cayenne pepper into their blush or mascara.
Yeah, that can happen. Has happened.
Yeah.
You know the most sabotage beauty pageant I remember was a Miss Puerto Rico.
Oh, what happened? Oh, somebody put like itching powder in somebody's weave or something.
Yeah, all sorts of the makeup and their clothes and all that stuff, and it was like making international scandal.
Mm. Oh my god!
You know,
I shudder to think. I really wish there had been more hijinks like that at Camp Wanakiki. I think we were all too tired because it was so.
Well, it's fun to drink with you girls late into the night.
We did have some fun nights. Know. We were allowed to have up to 3 drinks. We had to sign a little waiver because it's a camp for kids, so they don't have alcohol there. A lot.
There actually is some videos that I shot while you guys were there drinking and styling. There was one moment that you girls were styling a wigs.
Yeah. So Jules Long Beach. Hi, Diva. She had flown in special and the airline had lost her wigs, her like beautiful Delta Work styled by Delta Work wigs. And so she went by the airport and she just got some cheapo like, you know, plastic fronts from the nearby beauty supply. And she brought them with, and we were hanging out one night after filming. And, she was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with these. And me and Muffy were like, we'll do it. We'll have a challenge. you can pick your favorite. We'll both style them and you can see who you like better. So me and Muffy, we just like ran to get our hair stuff and brought back our wig heads and like started styling. We had a little fun little kiki.
So it was really, you know, between you and Muffy the entire time, like, you know, I was like, anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, we've all said it 1,000 times, like it was a competition, but we weren't like,
it's very wholesome.
Yeah. We weren't like cutthroat. Like I love her. It brought us closer, I think.
Well, I told this to the Sugar Baker twins. It's like, you don't have to worry about the queens fighting with each other or anything. You have to worry about your own fights and with each other. Cause you know, they are brothers.
They're actual twin brothers. In real life. They're super cute. Yeah.
And once brothers, now sisters.
Yeah.
Brothers, sisters.
That's
sister,
a
brothers.
Porn thing, right?
That's a porn thing.
there's a
I forget which website, but that's their tagline. Once brothers, now sisters.
Once brothers, now sisters, now lovers.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's crossing a lot of thresholds.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, part of it is like behind the scenes, they were figuring out and navigating a lot of their relationship, but also what they wanted out of the show. And for you guys, it was, you know, a little bit anxiety inducing because you were like, Mom and Dad are fighting. Mom and Mom are fighting. What's going on here?
Well, we were already on like a level 8, 9, or 10, just because, like I said, they did a great job of not telling us anything about what we would be doing until the very last moment. Like we got there and they were basically like, "We'll tell you when you need to know." Like,
sure.
It was a get in a space of like, just roll with the punches and be ready to go and hurry up and wait, you know, for setup and lines and stuff like that. So, and because it was so quick, it was only 6 days that we were there. There wasn't any time for us to have any fights or anything like that. So,
well, you were kind of, there was also this idea that like you were kind of in this very difficult scenario in the middle of nowhere. How did any of you guys have cars, or you were driven there, or how did that work?
Muffy had a car. A few of us had cars. I actually, I actually asked my mom to come drive me. Yeah.
Just like summer camp.
So your mom
just
came like up from camp. Texas or something?
They live in Florida now. Okay. My dad used to be a pilot for Southwest. So he and my mom are able to fly. They still have those privileges. I can't do it anymore. Boo. So I asked her to come up. It was just after my birthday. I was like, why don't you just come up this day, rent a car, drive me. And actually Kevi rode with us. And we drove. And so my mom took me to camp. It was really cute. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. And Kevi is a good camping buddy or partner, you know? It's like,
she's great, yeah. She just played Pokemon Go the whole time.
Oh, in the car ride?
Yeah.
She's like, shh. I'm winning.
Yeah. Do we drive by a gym, I guess?
For you getting to this, is this the first time you've ever been to an actual summer camp? Or?
Yeah. I would go camping with the YMCA with my dad. They had that program called Indian Guides. Mm-hmm. It was like father, son.
Was that through the Y?
Yeah, YMCA.
I didn't realize that. I used to do that too when I was a kid. Yeah.
I like Diet Boy Scouts, I would call it. But it was with your dad. Mm-hmm. I would do that quite a bit. Me and my dad went camping sometimes just by ourselves, but I never got to go to a summer camp. I had to go to church camp a lot, but that was in a college.
Well, my brother church and I did camp. Indian Guides with my dad, and I guess they probably knew I was gay back then because we made tomahawks, out of and I painted mine gold. My brother painted his silver.
I guess that's part of the reason I want to ask you about this is, for a lot of people who get on reality TV shows, and so obviously, you did very well.
Thank you.
But other people may not have had their expectations matched. I don't know if you're able to talk about this, but what kind of, advice can you give people who get on reality TV shows and things don't go the way they want it to?
That's an interesting, because things went well for me. I will say I went in with zero expectations as far as, I feel like with drag specifically and really anything you do, just worry about doing the best that you can do and don't have any expectations as far as again, I won. So shut the fuck up, Alexis. But I really did. I really did think this is an opportunity to get some exposure. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity to do something no one else has done before. I felt like a pioneer in something very cool. I had known the twins before from working at Hamburger Mary's here in Andersonville. So I knew that they were good guys and they seemed like they really wanted to create something positive. So I just said, you know what? Let me do the best that I can do. Let me represent myself in Chicago to the best of my ability. And then whatever else happens again. I won. So it worked out for me.
No, but that's great advice. It's good advice for anything in life is about managing your expectations. A lot of times pin our hopes and dreams on things. And, you have to think about, is this realistic?
And that is something that I'm learning time and time again, at this stage in drag and my life, just manage your expectations. Don't think, certainly have the hopes that it's going to do well and we're going to be, the next whatever it girls, but don't be upset. Just be grateful for what you have. I think we're all have experienced a bump in exposure and bookings, except for maybe Dominique, just because she lives in a town with one club. She needs to move.
We stopped in by Eau Claire on our way to Minneapolis because we had a viewing party of my reality TV show that I'm on, Alfenorga.
Alfenorga.
And we stopped in Eau Claire and I launched Grindr. And I can't tell you how many cross-dressers came up on that grid. And I was talking to her. I was just like, oh my God, girl, is everybody in your town a drag queen now? And she's just like, it seems like it a lot, Because Eau Claire is bigger than you think it is.
Really?
You think it's a small town, but I think it's over 100,000 or something. Maybe it's 60,000. I don't know.
I know there's a university there. My friend Sam went there.
Okay.
Samantha. Hey, girl.
A lot of good looking people in Eau Claire, I gotta tell you. Swiping right is real easy.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? I can imagine if you're a drag performer, you want to go where the gigs are, and certainly the fan base. And
yeah,
but it's tricky. I feel like in a lot of ways, Chicago is kind of a lot of divided communities. You have the north side, the south side, the west side, the suburbs.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. I've heard that since I've started. I guess yes, geographically. Like, I don't perform on the South Side. I've never performed on the South Side. I certainly would, but yeah, there's a big hub in Boys Town, so that's like the obvious. And then there's a lot of clubs here up north, and I do think there have been people that perpetuated it, but I haven't found it to be that.
Well, how do you handle that? Like, you know, because it's hard. Mark, what is it you say about, you know, the challenges the drag queens face? Is that for a lot of these girls, it's an uphill battle, you know, and you're living in a, you know,
it's really hard to do drag. It's a difficult proposition. I mean, you can do drag badly, but you know, to do it well, it's like you it's hard work. You have to devote your heart and soul into it. There's so much money involved in doing drag. And they've recently had some articles, and something we've been saying for years is like a lot of times what you get paid just doesn't even cover what you're doing out there. And so you really have to do it for the love of it. Maybe you might be able to make some money from it someday, but you know, if that's your motivation, it's going to be heartbreaking unless you can really overcome those challenges.
Yeah, and it goes back to managing your expectations. I will say, like, I will work wherever anyone will book me, and even still, I'll do it for, you know, whatever the show pay is that everyone else gets. Some bars do not pay as much as others. And that, I think, is, that's one reason there maybe is a little hostility, because in some areas you just don't get paid as much, but I'll do it because a friend has asked me, or I am into the theme of the show, or I just happen to have the night free, and what else am I going to be doing? You know? So it goes back to managing your expectations. I know I'm not getting paid enough. I know I'm not getting drinks, which is rude.
I think you should at least get two drink tickets, right? You know,
Just don't.
Well, this is like anytime I ever perform in drag, I just expect I'm not going to get anything out of it.
And well, I'm doing it for the love. Yeah, yeah. You know?
And part of it is just the joy of dressing up in a costume.
Yeah,
and
twirling,
and
feeling
performing
fabulous.
Your favorite music and getting lost in the moment. And it is so difficult to remember that we, as all these advances with drag on television and Drag Race and all the stuff, you know, I was auditioning for a reality TV show where I made it past several rounds, and I was like, and all the other contestants are like, oh my God, you're going to get on this. This is going to be amazing. You know, it was a big deal.
American Ninja Warrior?
It was not that. But it was a show that you know, people have said that we should be on, and I did pretty well. And then
will you tell me after this?
I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
And the rude British person that is inevitably on every reality
TV
show.
Spoiler. Oh, you
turns
just
to
the
me.
Trope.
Yeah, the trope. And
one of the judges.
One of the judges was a rude British person, you know, and they turned to me and they were just like, cooking with drag queens, and just kind of shook her head and took my form and just put it in the pile of no. As I'm talking about it, you know, and I'm seeing her body language on the stuff. And to me, I was like, you know, I was very grateful for that experience because it made me realize, you know, I always think the job of an artist is to audition. And 99% of the time, you're never going to get the role, you know? And it's always a gift when you actually get inside those doors, you know, and get to play, have fun.
Totally.
And, you know, it's, I don't think I was ready for it. And I don't think they were ready for me either. And so I still will try out and still continue that journey for myself. But it was part of it. It was like, and I say this to on the air for the listeners' benefit, because I think when you're going to be on these kind of experiences, it's really easy to talk about yourself in the terms of your accomplishments and those jobs that you've had. But it's really difficult to talk about your personal journey in relationship to your friends and family and make that in a sense that becomes compelling narrative.
Yeah.
And I've had an extraordinary life and an extraordinary family and an extraordinary marriage. But when they actually asked me about those things, it was really hard for me to talk about it. And so they were, you know, I started talking about the podcast. I talked about cooking with drag queens. I talked about all the beautiful things that I've been involved with Camp Wanakiki, you know? And to me, they were just like, drag. Ugh, men in dresses?
They don't know. Sometimes Yuck. Ladies in dresses. Yeah.
And sometimes it's women. It can be anybody. But and the shocking thing that a major television producer of a major network would look at me with disdain and contempt.
Oh my God, there's so many people that look at you with disdain and contempt. Well, how are you surprised?
But part of it is, like, it's not for being a drag queen, you know? And to
oh,
me,
they sure do.
Well, to me,
you like, always have haters, my dear.
They're going to be haters and stuff like that, but I just thought it was like this person could be bigger than that and had no reason to. And it was like, it just made me realize the and appreciate how beautiful someone like you is, Alexis, who, despite all the obstacles, you know, you really keep a beautiful glow and of love in your heart, and you have no hatred for anybody, and you keep putting on those very expensive gowns and costumes and keep going.
Oh, that's very sweet. I will add that that is up until now, because now I'm just going to be a monster after winning. I'm just kidding. That was
Do you
joke.
Feel like yourself, like the, you know, the I'm hotter than you and I'm, you know, I'm hot shit.
Absolutely not.
Growing
the, no, no.
Just a tiny little bit.
I feel
good. It would
good.
Be insincere if you didn't say so.
I feel good. I feel, I'm still kind of in shock about it.
Because like the Norwegians don't like to brag about winning. You know, that they considered it to be rude if, like, if there were two people who, they always say it's very
like,
close.
Every competition, they're like, oh, it was very close. And you're like, oh my God, it wasn't close at all. But it's okay. It's nice that you say that. But yours, I have to say, your competition was very close. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
The people you were up against were really talented
formidable.
And formidable. And, you know, I loved you guys, your videos that you guys did as part of your thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was interesting that yours and Muffy's was very similar in a sense.
I got to say, we did not talk about what
I'm
we
sure
were doing
didn't.
At all. Mm-hmm. We actually, she,
so for, to the listeners who are mm-hmm. familiar with this, the final challenge was, they gave you a very difficult song to lip sync. The theme to Camp on a Kiki. Mm-hmm.
They wrote a song. A
I actually
song.
Like the
Ring
song.
Ring that bell. When you hear that
really
bell.
When you hear that bell, you better wake. What is it? How does this go? When you hear that bell.
When you hear that horn.
When they hear that horn. Yeah. But what's the, when you hear that horn, you better.
Get awake.
Get awake.
Mm. Yeah.
And my Google Play, where I'm listening to the music, malfunctioned one day. I actually listened to the song at the gym.
Really?
I actually
it's
like it.
It's got a sick beat.
It's fun, you know?
I think it's good. I've listened to it like hundreds of times now, maybe 100 times. And I'm not sick of it fully.
And it malfunctioned. And it played it like chipmunk fast. Mm. And it's actually,
I want to hear that.
It's so amazing. And so I texted it to the Sugar Baker twins. I was like, this is what the song should sound like. And they're like, whatever.
That's so funny.
So you guys were given the challenge to lip sync to the song.
Yeah, we had
create
to create
a video.
We had to create three individual lip sync videos to this song. And I think it's a testament to the song that we, Muffy and I, had similar visions, just because it's also like, how, you know, navigating how do you make a lip sync video to three different voices, you know, but
it takes a drag village.
She takes a village. I asked the Sugar Baker twins if I could borrow the flag, the Camp on a Kiki flag, because in the end, to me, it just screams Les Miserables, like. So I asked if I could have the flag, and they were like, oh, well, Muffy's borrowing it right now, but she'll have it back later. And so I messaged Muffy. I was like, so I hear you have a flag. What you using it for? And she's like, it's in my video. That's my Muffy.
That's a good video.
That is good. Do it again.
No, I don't think I can.
that was so good. So,
do it. Say, like, I want to suck all the cocks in town, but do it in Muffy's voice.
I will never say that. I'm a lady.
I want to suck all the cocks in town.
Oh.
But it's Muffy.
Muffy. I love her. I love you. No, so I messaged her, and I was like, so are you using a flag in your video? And she was like, yeah. And I just go, Les Miserables? And she goes, yeah. And I was like, fuck. So I changed my thing. But I was like, I knew we were doing the same thing.
Oh,
and then
wow.
She doesn't know this, but her videographer, Sean Esterquist, hey boo, he's great. At one of the viewings, I was like, so you're doing Muffy's video, right? And he was like, maybe. And I was like, are you doing it like a one shot, like a OK Go video? And he was like, I can neither confirm nor deny that. And I was like, we're going to have the same fucking video.
Oh, so you knew going into it, it was going to be
no, I didn't know.
Sense.
This was, I mean, she had already filmed her. We had both already filmed ours. So it was like, I didn't know, like, you know, nobody copied each other, but mm-hmm. So we
I was
didn't
very
know.
Grateful that you guys actually finally made a video of any kind, you know, like,
oh yeah,
you guys are all such extraordinary artists and drag is one tool in your arsenal, but you guys are great choreographers and video artists and mm-hmm. visual people of all kinds of skill sets. And so it was really great seeing the way, you know, Pagan Holiday made those puppets or Muffy made
so
a
cool.
tribute to Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And yours was really fun because it used the Chicago lakefront as a setting with a lot of our own community's people. And Dixie Lynn Cartwright managed to stay sober long enough to film it.
Why? She didn't have to be sober, right?
I don't even think she was. No, Dixie is my BFF. For life. She helped. She shot the whole thing just on her iPhone, and she edited the whole thing in like 2 days. I have a really bad habit of doing everything last minute. We call me last minute Lexus for that. Actually, no one calls me that, but they could.
In your mind, you call yourself that.
Yeah. So,
of course, it's called procrastination.
Yeah, Lexus P. Bevels.
Do you know why you procrastinate?
P for procrastinate, because I'm afraid of. Winning? I don't know.
Because well, you're probably a perfectionist, and you know that if you wait to the last minute, it gives you an excuse
to be
fuck
sloppy.
Up.
Yeah. Yes, that's 100% right. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I don't have to pay for this therapy session, do I?
No. That was free because I'm a procrastinator too.
Yeah,
actually, all the great artists do like the pressure of a fixed time frame. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, even for example, like on a very simple macrocosm. When you know you have to be someplace else at the gym, like I've noticed that we're more efficient in our workout. Like anytime you can create a time restraint for yourself in life, it can actually be a real productive, creative tool.
Yeah, it is funny. I do think I always do this with makeup. Like I won't leave myself enough time and then I'll be like, cause you don't have time to second guess.
Yeah.
You just have to do it. And then it comes out either looking good or looking stupid. And then if it does, you just throw some glasses on and you say you're campy.
Is that what, cause we love seeing you with those, kind of kooky.
No, I just love them.
You like big, crazy 70s glasses.
Yeah. I like making myself look as small as possible.
So the glasses,
and the big glasses
face.
And the big hair make me look small. I love get my like Mary Kate Olsen, like bug eye glasses.
That's
look.
Clever.
Yeah.
Are they
clever
prescription? Girl.
These? No, my other glasses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes,
some
they
of the,
are.
Some of the ones you do in drag are prescription, right?
No.
No? Not
so,
at all?
Okay. Never. With the video.
Video.
You were talking about, Alexis, Dixie Lynn Cartwright
Dixie,
is
yes.
your friend.
Yeah, Dixie.
Who you guys have seen on Cooking with Drag Queens.
She was the first one of the second season. And she doesn't make food.
She didn't eat it either. She actually did eat food.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
She actually chewed it and swallowed it.
She's
which
very
is great.
Thin. She's very thin.
Well, you know, and she lives next door to a McDonald's.
Oh my God.
A high tech McDonald's. Have you been inside it?
Yes.
Every time I go into that McDonald's, I think about Dixie Lynn Cartwright.
I text
her photos of what I'm eating and she completely ignores it.
She has to watch going in there. I dog sat for her for 3 days and I went in. I'm not going to tell you how many times I went into that McDonald's. They like recognize me now.
I love that McDonald's.
It's great.
It's totally different than what it used to be. You know?
Yeah.
All we get is chicken fingers and ice cream.
I'm not going to tell you what I get. I need it on a diet. Dixie is amazing. We love working together. And from the moment I told her, she has been so supportive and so amazing. She single-handedly edited that whole thing. She's brilliant. I directed it. I told her what I wanted and she just ran with it. And, this experience has brought us closer together, which
I want to see you guys make more videos together. Yeah.
I think that's in the works. Yeah. I think that she was working full time at an actual like job, and now she's not anymore. So she's a full time drag queen right now. And
congratulations, she's one of the ones that she's made it.
She's made it. So she's been focusing a lot more on drag, and for whether that's the reason or not, like, it's brought us a lot closer together. She is, she's been completely amazing and so supportive. And, yeah. And that we actually just brought back to our show, Dixie Wins a Talent Show, while Alexis Bevel stage manages. It's the last Tuesday of the month at Sidetrack.
That sounds really good. I'll be there for that.
Yeah. Come for that. It's really fun. So Dixie hosts and wins her own talent show competition.
What nights
are
those?
She's an egomaniac,
Tuesday.
Right? Is that the
concept? That's a perfect night.
Yeah. 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 And everyone else competes for second, third, and fourth place. And I'm the stage manager. She likes to tell people it's because I used to compete so much and, like, almost beat her. So she's like, you're not allowed to compete anymore.
But you do perform.
We do perform. The gig is like, I'm always still trying to enter the competition. So I try to get
in. Oh, so you're like Lucy and Ricky.
Yes. Yeah.
Stay out of my conga drum.
Yeah. We love each other, and I love working with her. And we are, thanks to Camp Wanakiki, we're going to go on a cruise together.
Oh, so you're taking her on the cruise?
Yeah.
That is so perfect.
Oh, Kai Kai.
Unless I get a boyfriend before then. I'm just kidding. Kai Kai, how dare you? Never. I would never talk about that publicly on a podcast.
What? Sister Dick? Sister Dick will make you sick. No, hey, it won't make you sick.
You're the only girl that can make my tits pop right. That's from Showgirls too.
I know Versace.
Yeah?
That's my Showgirls reference.
It's called Versace.
Yes, what did I say?
She was just recently, Elizabeth Berkley was recently photographed in something from Versace. She's like, yes, this is from Versace.
She did?
Do you guys remember that dance? It was after So You Think You Can Dance, like, came, and then Bravo did one called, I think it was called Step It Up or Step Up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was a dance competition show. There was only one season, and she was the host.
No.
Do you remember this?
No. I don't remember it at all.
This is good.
I want it back so bad.
When did that
she
happen?
Was like the Tyra Banks for like America's Got Talent. It was years ago.
They marketed that wrong then. If they couldn't make that a success,
oh my
because
God.
You know, Showgirls was the highest selling videotape of all times, right? From Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Stop.
I mean, they sold like over 100,000 of them. It was crazy.
I believe it. Well, because it's also very graphic, right? Mm-hmm. Pornographic.
Oh, yeah. Because every day she gets a voicemail saying, I'm not a whore. and for women, that can be a hard thing to hear all the time.
Also, mm-hmm. there's some gratuitous, you know, rape that's not okay anymore.
Racism,
not okay
racism. Sexual assault, rape,
why do we
violence.
Like this movie so much?
Because it's a disaster.
It is a disaster.
And, you know,
I like the dance scenes.
I think when Showgirls was... We lived in simpler times in some regards. I think social media is no longer a force for good in the world. And certainly, you know, Showgirls was a way for us to sort of laugh at these demons. And, mm-hmm. you know, in this day and age, it is hard to find Showgirls funny the way it used to be.
Yeah. Speaking of Showgirls, can we talk?
Yeah.
I just saw A Star Is Born yesterday.
Carl.
So what did you think of it?
Don't get me started.
Should we not get started?
No, let's do it. Let's talk about
okay,
this.
Okay, well, I'm still processing
it. We're bringing
it. I'm still processing it. I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan.
I'm a big fan of hers, too.
I'm a huge fan, so I knew I was going to love it. I had never seen any of the originals, like a dummy. So.
Well, there's only one original.
What? Right.
The other ones are remakes.
Yes.
She's the fourth one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'd never seen them, and so I didn't know the story, and I didn't realize it was going to be that's stupid to say. I guess it is a remake.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that that happened. At the ending happened.
It's more of a reboot than a remake, isn't it?
No,
I think it's a remake.
It's a remake. They concentrate on different kinds of stuff. You know, it's always
they
different.
They update it for
now,
the time.
For the, you know, we can spoiler alert. You know, and the thing that kind of concerned us the most is that, you know, her partner. You know, she becomes the star, and he's star's kind of fading, and he feels like the only way to like set her free is to kill himself, which is just
I did
the
not know
worst.
That happened. Happened.
I didn't either.
Message that they could have sent out ever, especially considering Lady Gaga's history with LGBT youth, suicide prevention, and bullying.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the show that she's going to, like, that she's going to do. To me, it almost sounds like, you know, it's the Pied Piper. Like, she's like, hey, kids, come with me. You're going to be okay. And then she leads them into, like, with this movie, into oblivion.
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I also think it's them just remaking what happened in the original. Like,
well, so the original movie, there was a suicide in it. And the second one, which I didn't see, the second one, there was also one, but I feel as though in some ways it was kind of vague.
I heard it. I watched, yeah.
Like, I feel like it was kind of like, did he die from alcoholism?
It's not clear.
In my mind it was fuzzy. But in the one with Chris Christopherson and Barbara Streisand,
that's the one he was just driving.
And so I guess Barbara insisted that should be kind of like mysterious or unclear, that it wasn't a suicide, you know, because, you know, Barbara's smart.
That's true. You know?
Are you saying Lady Gaga?
I think it's a really dumb choice for her, and the fact
that I think she made that choice.
Well, she made the choice to be.
She signed her name.
She signed her name to that movie.
Yeah,
and it's like, to me, like, I'm an adult. I can handle it. You know what I mean? I've questioned whether I should be on this earth or not myself, and I think I'm okay with being here. You know, but there's a lot of other people that are fans of hers that might be. You know, that are questioning that. And I think that it's reckless is the word
that
I would use.
That is an interesting point. I will say, though, not to gloss over that very serious subject, but I see what you're saying. I will say I wasn't surprised because I had faith in Lady Gaga, but it was really, she was great. Like, her acting was great. Did you see it yet?
Yeah. I was with there with him.
Yeah. I thought
I was extremely
was
triggered by the film, and it's like, when Lady Gaga's on the stage, up until the second half of the film, it's
the first half
extremely playful, pleasurable, fun,
and just a dream come true. I used to always fantasize about that exact thing, just some rich, famous person plucking me out of obscurity, like the ultimate Cinderella story. Mm-hmm. I was so happy. I did, however, when he surprise, I made an arrangement of the song you sang once to me in the middle of the night, and then she sang it. I was like, that doesn't work like that. You can't just pick up on
the force does not work like that.
Yeah.
Well, I heard this before I went on my trip to Norway, and it said that the greatest opportunities in your life are going to be presented to you by people you don't know yet. And so she's like, it's like this rags to riches kind of story for her.
Well, so you're certainly a drag queen who works in bars, and you see you have heterosexual friends, cisgender friends,
who share
the dressing room with you. I can imagine that if somebody brought their boyfriend or some famous star backstage and looked at you like, Alexis. And the girls, can you guys all leave so me and this guy can talk to each other? You said, get the fuck out of here.
Go find
your own personal space,
I would
Lady
feel
Gaga.
The vibe out. I would feel the vibe out.
Do you think Shangela was right in chewing all the drag queens out of their own dressing room while they're in the middle of doing lines of cocaine and drinking and removing their makeup just so Lady Gaga and Chris Christopherson knockoff could... You know, do the same.
Probably the coop. I don't know. To me, it seemed like she was just shooing them out because it's like time to go. We're closed, so you can't be here drinking. I mean,
no, she was like, come on, guys, make room for the straight people. This is their space now. Well, just like when they went to the black church, she's like, okay, we're going to get married in this black church.
Spoiler. I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
so you recommend people see it, but with reservations or?
I want to see the other ones. Yeah. Oh my God. Please go see it. Yeah. They're not sponsoring this podcast, but go see it. Are they?
No, baby. Okay.
I just loved it.
Supported by the listeners of the show.
I did start watching the original one from 1937 last night. I got halfway through, and I just didn't realize there was a whole. I've never delved into the Star Is Born world, and now I'm very curious. I was very shocked because I had no idea what was coming at the end, and it was deeply depressing. Obviously, spoiler.
Did you cry?
I teared up. I don't really cry.
Okay.
I like to keep all my emotions bottled up, way
like
down
Fausto,
deep inside.
Fausto cried, and like a lot of people are saying they were bawling.
Well, Fausto's crying right now.
It was a very difficult film for me to watch, and part of it is because it really. You know, have you ever heard that that song, Someone Found My Letter and Read It on the Radio? You know,
no,
the way that Donna Summer on the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and that song is about the way that great art or an amazing work of art can connect with your own personal experience to the point that you feel betrayed, that you feel like your own personal experience is being put on display for the world to see, you know, and to scrutinize.
Yeah. Wow.
And for me, definitely I felt that way about the Lady Gaga Star Is Born, and it was it made me a little bit angry. It made me feel like, you know, you can make any movie you want to make. You don't have to remake this film over and over again. And I think the world and Lady Gaga's audience deserves a new story, deserves a remaking the story. I felt that the drag queens, as wonderful as Shangela and Willem are, they felt tangential to the film. There were window dressing, you know, in a lot of senses is like, you know, and even the scene where Bradley Cooper gets makeup put on him, that wasn't even an original thing.
Well, and Willem was definitely very Willem. So that was very true to who he is as a character.
That made me so excited. Just as a drag queen with dreams of, you know,
being on in film,
making it big.
They got to go to the Oscars this year.
Yeah. Oh.
If they get nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're gonna! This movie's gonna get nominated.
So Willem and Shangela can go to the Oscars
for best song.
It just makes me so. It made me so I don't know them, but it made me so excited to see drag queens up there. But not. I mean, tangential maybe, but also not the butt of a joke. They were real people. Mm-hmm. They were agreed very well, which made me think that there was some improv going on, which is just mm-hmm. how fucking cool to be in a room with A-list celebrities and mm-hmm. and have them trust you to do your thing. That's really cool. And I was watching Willem puts out, you know, videos of just how excited she was to go to the premiere in Toronto and LA. And
I just want to see more, it's scratching the surface of what these extraordinary performers have to offer.
But it's also maybe heralding in a new era of more of that. Alaska's been in the movie.
Sharknado deserves an Oscar too.
Sharknado, yes, of course. Those sharks did some really phenomenal.
She was in Marina Sirtis from Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
she played her mother.
Well, she was the daughter. Well, Marina
the daughter,
played,
yes. Not the other way around.
Alaska played a girl. not a drag queen. But you know, I think it's important that you said that about them treating the drag queens with respect and not as the butt of the joke. And I remember we interviewed Patrick Bristol, who was in Showgirls. He played the choreographer, and he was also Ellen's gay best friend on the Ellen show. And he said for him, you know, and he was, you know, playing gay in the 90s and still is playing gay today. It was very important for him to do as a gay person, to do a gay role and to always, he goes, I don't care what the other people thought of me, but I always wanted the leads to have respect for me and not make me the butt of the joke. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I always wanted that kind of support. And it was very important. And I think as queer people, we need to demand that from Hollywood.
Yeah. Especially now. And to circle back to the kind of straight washing of Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, we don't need to be, we're here, it's happening and we all know it. Mm-hmm. So representation matters, certainly for gay people, certainly for people of color. That's what we need to, that's what I'm hoping happens, and I hope to be a part of it someday. But listen, if anyone wants to cast me, I'll do it. I'll be the butt of your joke. I will do it.
No, you have to have at least one person on your side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can be the butt of the joke, but you also have to
the butt of the joke. I wasn't the butt. I was the front of a cow one time in a production of Gypsy. I was so thankful I didn't have to be the butt. I got to stand up straight.
Alexis Bevels, you're such a sweet, lovely person. It was really nice to spend a week with you. In the backwoods of Illinois.
That was really fun. It was fun to see a familiar face there besides Muffies.
I forgot to tell this. In my personal opinion, you won the Explore Your Pious Abilities Challenge.
Oh.
Where this is what happened. So the twins approached me and said, Mark, and said, I want you guys to dress up as bears. Not as the Country Bear Jamboree or, you know, Bears in a Fursuit, but like, you know, guys in flannel with beards, you know? Mm. And I was like, this is more Disney than it is, you know, the Pride Parade. And when I started thinking about all the drag queens in the woods, I was thinking of like the Care Bears and, you know, cartoon characters in this magical world. And I was like, I should be dressed up as a ballerina bear from like a Russian circus or something.
Oh, that's cute.
And so I put together this look, and the challenge was to have you guys make sandwiches that were roasted by a campfire and
in those cast iron
pudgy pie.
Yeah.
Tins, right?
I had never done that before either. I'd never even seen that.
It's really great. It's like a panini sandwich on the open flames.
Yeah, brilliant.
And they initially just had a couple of cheeses and some meats and some, you know, very like modest things. And I was like, I really wanted to give you guys a lot of choices. And I wanted to see what people who are used to putting together things that don't normally go together, which is drag queens, right? Mm-hmm. What they would do with food when we were given sort of like a salad bar approach to making a panini sandwich. Mm-hmm. And most of the girls, they were very traditional. They made like a grilled cheese sandwich. They made s'mores.
Or they were disgusting and did like mushrooms and
And Nutella. Sand and grass in it. And they're like, eat this, Fausto. You did something that I thought was really nice. Can you talk about it?
Oh yeah. Well, I did like roast beef with cheddar and slices of apple.
Mm-hmm. It was apple pie filling, I believe.
Oh, you're right. It was apple pie filling. Yeah.
So it had a sweetness to it.
It had a little sweetness. Yeah. I did that. And we didn't have onions. But, because I used to work at this cafe called Zanzibar. Shout out to Zanzibar.
Right down the street from where we live.
Right down the street.
On
Bryn Mawr. Gay owned. Hey. And that was one of the sandwiches we had there. So I was like, I don't know what to make. I'm just going to make what I know. So I kind of cheated and I just used that.
Well, I thought it was really great. It was kind of like, you know, we're very familiar with like a turkey Thanksgiving sandwich that has cranberry dressing in it.
I love that.
And that's such a great combination of sweet and savory. And that was what I was hoping somebody would do. And you did it. And in my mind, I was like ready to say, you know, Alexis won this challenge.
Thank you. Alexis P. Bevels, the P stands for Pudgy Pie Maker.
Well, best of luck in your career.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
And I'm glad the good things are coming your way. You deserve it.
That's sweet. I hope so.
But if people want to catch you, you're performing all over the place in Chicago, nationwide. They can best place to know about your next shows is.
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Alexis Bevels. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Alexis Bevels. I have a website coming up very soon, alexisbevels.com. And yeah, my Venmo is also at Alexis Bevels. The prize money hasn't come in yet, so how will grow
out. Send her a dollar.
Honestly,
do you accept Venmos
from
audience members on stage?
100%.
Can they just show you the phone that they tipped you?
Yeah, or I'll know after. Actually, I do that sometimes at bingo. I'll say, like, if you don't, you know.
You know, the drag queen that can figure out how to do that digitally will be rich.
Oh my goodness. That's a legit thing. If you look on Venmo, search people, I guess, by their name or whatever.
Or location even?
I wonder if you can do that. I don't know. But if you're going to a drag show and you don't have dollars because you didn't know, Venmo people, we love it.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, please do it.
Let's start that tradition.
Or if you're just thinking about, if you're thinking about, like I always think about Tenderoni because they're amazing. Just shoot them some money on Venmo.
Who's Tenderoni?
Tenderoni is one of the most amazing drag king performers here in Chicago right now.
Oh.
They are
We don't get
spectacular.
Out much.
You should come out. Well, I'll see you at Dixie Wins a Talent Show. This it's going to be a special Halloween edition on October 30th at Sidetrack. Or you can find me on
spooky
social and, you know, see where I'm at.
It's such a pleasure having you here, and I really adore you, and I'm so happy that you won.
Oh, thank you so much.
And, you know, may the best... that's RuPaul.
May the force be with us.
Remember, folks, sucking at stuff is the first step to being good at stuff.
That's
yes.
Very true.
Yes.
I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support, so if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to fabulous homeless people like Alexis if it weren't for the people out there supporting this podcast.
Honey, if you see me, you know, dancing at a club or, you know, dressed up as a bear or as a beautiful woman, you can also Venmo or PayPal or anything. It's Feast of Fun. It's easy to remember. Oh, it just rolls off your tongue.
Leave a little tip.
Yeah. Well, give me the full 8 inches.
Save a couple inches for me, okay?
Oh, baby. We're going to spread the love all around.
And please visit our shop at feastoffun.com/store. Get yourself a great moment in drag t-shirt.
Yeah, honey.
A little Hunty t-shirt or Shantae, you stay.
Alexis, I love you. You're so much fun. Thank you so much for taking your time. I know you're really busy to come on the podcast, and it's real fun to kiki with you.
Oh, my God. Thanks for having me. I've had a blast.
It's been too long. Come back
Were
again.
Were these supposed to be on, by the way?
Yeah, you can take the jock strap off.
Oh, oh yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
We'll be right back.